T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us on the line, a great columnist for the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, one of the best in the country, Mike Sielski. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mike, we're obviously going to talk about this great column you have about Mitch Williams and Alshon Jeffrey. Are you going to be at the Eagles game tonight?
Yeah, that Twitter question of yours.
You're watching from beginning.
I wish I could stop once I got bored, but I got to watch from beginning to end.
Well, then I have to. It's great to ask you this question then, because there's so many fans, and myself included. If the first team offense does not play, what is Mike Sielski looking for?
I have a few players in mind that I kind of would like to see. I'm intrigued by what they're doing at running back, who's going to shake out there. Smaller, lesser-known guys, Greg Ward at wide receiver, can he continue playing well? He's a guy who's been around a while in the practice squad, and can he make the roster? And to be quite honest, you see how certain guys play in certain situations. You know, Andre Dillard, does he continue to pass block well and run block well and do the things that so far he's been doing throughout camp? I think he's had a pretty good camp. So I understand it's like stretching to find something really interesting, but I think it's a little bit different when you have to cover the team and really look hard at what's really happening on the field. I think that makes it a little more interesting, but not too much.
Now, when it comes to this first team offense, is there, outside of maybe a couple members of the offensive line, is there anybody you think, well, maybe there's a shot we might see them for, even if it's a series?
I suppose it's possible. I still would be surprised if Carson Wentz took a snap. You saw yesterday that there were other coaches around the league, Frank Reich in Indianapolis, for instance, saying that their first-team offenses weren't going to play. This to me, and Doug has said this throughout training camp and preseason, that this is the trend. He is clearly aware of this, that teams are playing their starters less and less. And that's why I kind of think that, we've been talking for the last week or two about, that debate of how much should starters play? Don't you need to play football in order to get better at playing football? But if more and more of these teams aren't going to play their starters, then what's the downside to the Eagles to not playing theirs?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I would not, after what happened with Nate Sudfeld, after what happened with Cody Kessler, I would not put Carson Wentz out there. I get the argument of, well, you can't play scared, but you also can't, introduce unnecessary risk, and that's all these preseason games are to me for a starter, is unnecessary risk.
Does this mean, and I know Doug Peterson hasn't said whether he will play or not yet, your only other option outside of Clayton Thorson, will we see Josh McCown in this game?
I would think we would. I don't see how we can't, since Nate Sudfeld can't play, and I guess that's the one argument in favor of why we might see Wentz, is just to eat up four, five, six snaps, but I don't know. I still would be surprised. I think McCown's probably experienced enough that he'd be able to step in. I mean, he's been doing this 18 years. He seemed pretty advanced in what he was doing at camp the other day against the Ravens. They seemed to throw him in there, and he handled it okay. That's the benefit of bringing on a 40-year-old backup quarterback with 18 years of experience, is that he's seen everything. It's not going to take him long to assimilate himself into your system, and heck, get on out there, throw the ball around a little bit and eat up some time here so we can check out everybody else on the roster.
What's your take on Wentz and what he was saying the other day about, I was kind of laughing about staying in the pocket, that yeah, that's being said right now, it's the preseason, but the minute he has an opportunity to take off if he needs to during the regular season, he'll do it. What was your take on Wentz in that conversation the other day?
Yeah, I think he's still, to a degree, a young developing quarterback. So there are going to be opportunities for him to run, and he's going to take them. I think he's, going to be more cognizant of staying in the pocket. I listened to that conversation a little bit, and you guys were kind of likening it to Donovan McNabb. I think, in the early years of Donovan's career, it was much more important to him to get outside the pocket because he was not as accurate a passer as as Carson is. You know, there's a lot of concerns, you know, all this about, you know, Carson's accuracy and things like that. Go back and look at the numbers, and I know it was a slightly different era of football, but Wentz's completion percentage is much higher, and his interception percentage is lower than McNabb's ever was. In those early years, Donovan needed to get outside the pocket to kind of create those plays. While I think doing that makes Wentz a much better quarterback, I don't think he necessarily needs to do it in the way McNabb did.
Now, Mike, you have a great column that you put out yesterday about big mistakes and how to handle them with Alshon Jeffrey and, of course, Mitch Williams. I mean, what can you share with us a little bit about this column and obviously why listeners of the station should read it?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, the listeners of the station get to hear Mitch a lot, and if there's ever been a guy who, you know, committed a big mistake in a big moment and then handled it the right way, at least in terms of how people around here would want an athlete to handle it, it was Mitch when he threw that pitch to Joe Carter in Game 6 and then stood up at his locker afterwards and, you know, for 26 years thereafter and owned it. And I'm not suggesting that Alshon's drop against the Saints last year was, you know, equivalent to what Mitch did in terms of its severity or anything like that. And we can get it all into the details of whether Mitch should have pitched and whether Nick Foles would be the quarterback now if Alshon had caught that ball. But just the idea of, you know, the way we are in this city and what we want from our athletes. And to me, that was an interesting parallel because Alshon, after that game, immediately stood up and owned it, but now doesn't want to discuss it. You bring it up with him and he says, you know, last year's last year, you know, that don't matter, I'm moving on. And I think no matter how each of those guys handle it, they are still living with it. I mean, it's still there. You know, you can't tell me that Alshon can't wait to get back on the field week one against the Redskins and feel the football in his hands, you know, and catch a touchdown or make a big play and completely put it behind him. So, you know, to me, it was just an interesting parallel about, you know, being an athlete, being on that kind of stage and having to handle a moment that does not go well.
And I think for Alshon, because we have this argument, I at least have it with Angela all the time, who's still really mad at it. And I keep going, the guy played with a rotator cuff tear the year they went to the Super Bowl and helped deliver you a Super Bowl. So, like, he had a little bit more, I think he's got a little bit more leeway with the fans.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's they're not as angry with him as they were with Mitch.
Oh, yeah, no, the afterglow of, you know, Super Bowl 52 was still lingering over the entire city. And, in fact, you know, I you could argue that the only reason people were really disappointed was because, you know, you're going to be disappointed because your favorite team loses and the Eagles had an opportunity to get to the NFC Championship game again. But, you know, there was just this aura of good feelings, generally speaking, that had been built back up again after they had rallied late in the season and beaten the Bears on the double doink. And, you know, here they are in New Orleans and it looks like they're going to win again. And isn't this awesome? And then, oh, you know, it was different with Mitch where you also had this feeling of, if the Phillies don't win this World Series, we're not going to see a season like this for a long, long time. That was really – that 93 team was really lightning in a bottle. You know, a bunch of veteran guys, all of them kind of hitting their peak. And Mitch had walked that wire so many times that, you know, that you kind of had a feeling, you know, throughout that ninth inning that, oh, boy, this may not turn out well.
Mike Sielski, columnist for the Inquirer.com, nice enough to join us. Mike, transitioning to Phillies now. And I always enjoy your questions, whether it's post-game in the clubhouse, because they always deal with the psyche of the player and the coach. With the insertion of Charlie Manuel, do you think this is having a positive effect on Gabe Kapler?
I don't know. I mean, Charlie was on the press conference the other day, you know, where Gabe, you know, basically, you know, peed on everybody's legs and told them it was raining, you know, after losing 2 out of 3 to the Padres.
That's one way to put it.
I don't know that Charlie's presence had much of an impact there. I mean, look, you know, they're winning these games because they're getting slightly better pitching, at least these last two, from Aaron Nola and from their collection of guys who threw yesterday, and because Bryce Harper is getting some big hits for them. You know, I mean, he's been the guy who they hoped that he would be. I don't know that, you know, I think this is the kind of thing that if you're going to determine if Charlie has any impact, you're going to have to see it once the season ends, you know, and take a step back and see, okay, well, did they, throughout September, did they go, you know, did they go on a big run? Did they go on a 15-5 sort of run where they're knocking the ball all over the park and whatever he's telling these hitters on a day-to-day basis, has some effect. Has it had any effect on Gabe? I don't know. I haven't been around Gabe enough lately to know. You know, I wonder if maybe he feels like, hey, I got Charlie here. You know, things are good. He can handle the hitting, and I'm just going to say whatever I'm going to say and be the guy I want to be. I don't know. I mean, to be quite honest, I'm not sure what Gabe is thinking in some of those situations when he goes into a post-game press conference, because he's been around here long enough to know that that sort of thing is going to fire people up when mm-hmm. he answers questions that way. And yet he still does it. You know, it's not Andy Reid. It's not Andy Reid saying, you know, we'll handle that internally, or, you know, I got to put guys in better position and then just cutting it off. I mean, Gabe is going an extra step, and as infuriating as people got with Andy Reid, they're doubly so, it seems to me, with Gabe Kapler, because he's not just saying we'll handle it and that's it. He's saying, oh no, the lousy game you saw today, you know, you're missing the bigger picture, and that's what people don't like.
When it comes to the decision to bring in Charlie, I didn't get the opportunity to ask you this. When John Middleton has finally said, I've had enough, and he goes through what he did and brings and search Charlie and out John Mailey, fans obviously loved it. We all know what Charlie Manuel means to this city and to that organization throughout the franchise's history, but that time has come and gone. And since Charlie's departure, the front office is completely different. They are now at the forefront of using analytics among Major League Baseball. For John Middleton to make this decision and to override everybody in that front office, although the fans love it, this is a horrible organizational decision, isn't it?
Well, it tells you that John Middleton is not above inserting himself into the decision-making of his baseball people. And that's something that I have no doubt that Matt Klentak and Andy MacPhail, even though it hasn't manifested itself outwardly, have been dealing with, you know, the entire season. I mean, this guy spent, what, $400 million or however much he spent in the offseason. He wants to see results. He's not George Steinbrenner, but he is more toward that end of things, you know, the Ed Snyder model, than he is a guy who just kind of stands back and lets his on-field decision makers handle things. I mean, you can't tell me that, you know, when the team was slumping as the trade deadline approached, that Middleton wasn't putting pressure on MacPhail and Klentak to say, hey, can we get a Madison Bumgarner? You know, is Alec Bohm really going to be this good that we can't move him, you know, and get a starting pitcher? Just because they didn't do that, and just because, you know, it never came out or was reported, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not happening. And I think, you know, based on the way the season has gone and based on what we know about John Middleton's personality, I think it's a pretty safe bet that he's been applying pressure, you know, on MacPhail and Klentak all season to shake things up.
Final question I have for you, Mike. I'm curious your opinion on it. Al brought up something yesterday, which I had never thought of, but then made perfect sense. So the lack of homegrown talent that this Phillies organization has at the professional level, there's only a handful of players. And you also look at the lack of starting pitching and bullpen help they currently have. And you have a lot of these guys under contract who are injured and some are expiring. So they're going to need a lot of help in this pitching staff. Al brought up the idea, well, one of these young players that has value is Rhys Hoskins, and he might be the only guy you can get considerable value for in the trade market. You think that would stand? How do you think that would stand with the fan base if they decided to trade Rhys Hoskins and something else for a pitcher to add to the rotation in the offseason?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on how Hoskins finishes the season, first and foremost. You know, if he continues, you know, this dive that he's on in terms of the slump and not hitting, you know, are you going to be able to get an R2 starter for him? And I think even if he turns it around and comes back and hits, you know, I also think that it depends on the nature of the pitcher you would get back. But I mean, this is the problem that the Phillies problem creates, which is that once you get the guy, you know, the rare guy who shows a flash of promise and gets a great rookie season and then a decent second season and then maybe isn't starting to develop the way you think, do you move him to try to get something else, or do you ride it out? And the fact that they haven't developed that many players over the last 10, 15 years, you know, weighs on your thinking. Here's the one guy we've got who might turn into something. Do we really want to give him up? It's the same sort of thing, to use an analogy I think that Al would appreciate. It's the same sort of thing the Flyers have been facing for a while. You know, you can only trade guys who aren't quite developing but still have promise and are young and who you develop for so long before it starts to bite you. And it's been biting the Phillies. You know, it bit the Phillies for a while in 2010 and 2011 while they were winning divisions, and it hollowed out their farm system. And, you know, they haven't replenished it yet. So I think I would be surprised if they did that. I'm not necessarily saying it's an awful thing to do, but I would really be surprised if they moved Hoskins.
So you just cut the check and go get the pitcher that way? You spend
more. Yeah, that's exactly. That's
right. More money?
Yeah, well, hey, it's not ours.
No.
We're not the way, you know.
You go back to the owner and say, well, last year, give me some more money,
Dad.
I know
you spent $400, yeah, but, you know,
I drove
another
the Lambert,
$120 maybe?
I drove the car in the Schuylkill. Can I have more money?
I mean, yeah. I know, but that's the thing is that, you know, that's what would happen with the Flyers time after time. And the Phillies have been to me in a very similar situation is when you go that long without developing guys, you know, players and prospects, it takes that much longer to replenish the system. You know, it's a heck of a lot easier to miss on a draft pick, you know, or trading for a young player than it is to hit on them. And if you are like the Phillies and you go 9 or 10 years where your farm system is barren, it's you're not going to refill it in 5 years. It takes longer than that. So, again, I'm not suggesting don't trade Hoskins. I'm suggesting that they would be hesitant to do it because they're going to say, well, he's a homegrown guy. We can't just every time a homegrown guy doesn't meet our expectations after 2 years, we move him to help ourselves in the here and now. That's how they got in the position where right. They had to rebuild.
Right. His name is Mike Sielski, sports columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, inquirer.com. Follow him on Twitter for the links to all his stories at Mike Sielski. Mike, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.